Well, while we was singing, the Lord gave me this scripture, and it's not on your bulletin, but it comes from Psalms 119:67, and it goes like this. It says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And it has a lot of meaning, because if I was never faced, if I was never afflicted in any way, I don't think I'd be here. Because it was pain and suffering in my life that drew me closer to God. And, you know, sometimes the pain and suffering, it can have a couple of effects on us. Sometimes it can push you away from God. It happened to me once before, and I slid and I fell away, and then pain and suffering came again. But this time, it drew me closer to God. So I really love that Psalm 119:67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Think about that. How many of you are here because of pain and suffering? You know, trials, the Bible tells us straight out that we're going to have trouble in this world. And, you know, if you're enduring trials, and if you have the wrong perspective like I once did, trials can be just like exercise. It's like, come on, I don't want to exercise. How many? There's some people in here who like to exercise, but how many of you don't like to exercise? Don't lie now. See, we're in church. Yeah, I mean, I don't like to exercise. And it's like, sometimes trials is like that. We don't like it. And sometimes I think of trials as like eating vegetables. Oh. You know, every night my wife eats like salad. You seen that new Domino's commercial? The one that there's a salad eater in the house so they can't eat pizza? It's like, oh, salad. It's like, come on, salad. Us men, we need meat. If I served salad for breakfast here on men's ministry, but I would be nailed to that cross so fast. Right, men? They like meat. And yeah, and if you look at trials from the wrong perspective, it can be like, man, eating vegetables or doing exercise. But if you think about, you know, the long-term effect of trials. Because I look back on the trials that happened to me years and years ago, and I was like, wow, I am thankful because I learned so much. I grew so much. You know, I'm a much better person because of it. You know, when we exercise or we eat vegetables, we can't usually see an immediate result. But we know from the experience that it is good. May not be very pleasant at the time, but it does have its benefits. It's like trials, like all the problems, all the afflictions. Doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but later on in life, we can see the result. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn it to Mark chapter 9. And, you know, God had put this scripture on my heart, and it talks about a man with a child who's possessed, and he's having issues, and the disciples couldn't get rid of this demon from this boy. It's a funny thing that, or not a funny thing, but God had put this scripture in here, and maybe it's because we do have young ones in our church who are suffering. And as a parent, man, it would be difficult if my children were suffering. I would really have a hard time with it. In Mark 9:14, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked, What are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. And he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do it. Jesus answered, and he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him, and when they saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, falling to the ground. And he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became much like a corpse, that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up, and he came into the house. His disciples being questioning him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. You know, as a dad, and maybe you as a parent, you know, when you see your child suffering, it really breaks my heart. And you know, we have some children in here who are going through a lot of things right now. And I look at their parents and they're composed and I'm like, man, you guys got it together. Because, you know, when my children suffered, man, I was a wreck because of the love. And this dad must have been going through a lot seeing his son suffer for years. And now he is delivered from this sickness, from this possession. And we wonder, you know, what was the lesson? What did he have to learn? Was it to bring him closer to God? Was it so that Jesus could show his power and his miracles before the people? It could be both of that. Could be other things that we're not sure of, that we might not get the answer on this side of heaven. But here's the thing. Number one, we need to treat trials as a gift from God. A gift from God. Sometimes when we think of gifts, we think of things that are nice and pleasant. You know, like a brand new car, a nice handbag, nice clothes, a fishing reel, some tools, right? But a trial as a gift? Are you kidding me? James, the half-brother of Jesus, could you imagine being Jesus' half-brother? Being the brother of somebody who's perfect? Wow, it must have been miserable, yeah? How many of you had siblings that everything that they did was good and that you had to live in their shadow? Or maybe you are one of those siblings who was the ones always getting the A's and the B's while I was getting the D's and the F's. Imagine living with a sibling who is like, you know, that good. Wow, it's like, I would just like, man, no sense. But James in 1, chapter 1, verse 2, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you have a perfect brother. No. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It says, let endurance have its perfect, meaning complete, meaning have the result that it needs to have, so that you may be perfect, meaning mature and complete, lacking in nothing. That's why we can treat trials as a gift, because it's going to make you mature, make you complete. How many of you want to be lacking in nothing? Yeah, we want to have everything. We want to have the knowledge to solve problems and the knowledge to make the right decisions in business and in life. We want to be mature, complete, lacking in nothing. But it's not going to happen without the trials. Amen? Over the years, you get to understand the trials. And you become mature enough where you can just about see and be joyful, because you can see what it's going to be doing later on in life. I can tell you the truth. If I have never had to face any trials from the day that I accepted Jesus as my Lord, I wouldn't nearly be the person that I am today. Trials helped me develop my character, brought me closer to God, helped me press into God. Trials taught me to trust God more, made me wiser, gave me endurance, hope, strength, wisdom. Basically, made me who I am today. When you understand the result of trials, you can understand why James says what he says. It's like exercising. It's like eating right. It's like doing devotions every day. You're not going to see the result. Like if I eat a salad right now and I go do my labs tomorrow, too late. I mean, you got to start. It's got to be a lifestyle, right? How many of you try to eat right the night before you got to do your labs tomorrow? Only the older guys is laughing. The younger guys, you don't worry yet. But like every, what, 4, 5, 6 months, us older people, we got to go take blood. They analyze our blood. We go to the doctor. They tell us, okay, your cholesterol is high. Your sugar is low. And all those things. And if I just eat salad the night before, or even if I fast, it's not going to make a difference one night. Yeah? How many of you took drugs and had to go take the drug test because you was going to a job interview the next day? Doesn't work. All the guys laughing. That's the ones. That's the ones tried that. And instead of looking at trials as like, oh man, it's just beating on me and beating on me and I am worn out. I am tired. I am suffering, it's hurting. I don't have any energy. Instead of looking at what the physical effect of trials, can we look at the trials as what is it doing inside of me? What is it doing to my heart? How is it making me stronger? How is it drawing me closer to God? Because trials can have, it can beat on you physically, but spiritually, man, it can make you strong. It can draw you so close to God that you no longer look at the trial because you're looking at God. Your focus is on God. Amen? So now, trials are a gift. Gifts we give to somebody we love, right? God loves us, right? So he He lets trials come our way. Because if God loves us but never gave us any trials, man, we'd be a bunch of soft, wimpy Christians who when the spider comes out, we run and flee so fast because we're scared. Yeah, you see that picture on the internet? It was on the homepage. This lady caught a spider the size of a dinner plate. Wow, I was like, whoo, I would have brought that here. Get me over the spirit of fear of spiders. I tell you, put me in that room with that, and I would have to get over that fear. But trials, we need to treat trials not as a nuisance to be ignored. Okay? How many of you had issues and it's like, oh, well, give it a month or two, it'll go away. And we'll just endure the suffering and the pain. But when I have health issues, it'll go away. You know, I've been having this shoulder pain for like a year now. And for a year, it's like, it'll go away. It'll go away. It'll go away. It hasn't gone away. And, you know, maybe I need to go check on it. I'm supposed to go check on it. Maybe it's teaching me to use my right hand so that I can be more flexible with my right and my left. You know, sometimes we ignore problems. We get bills, we ignore them, put them in the rubbish file. Yeah. We don't pray enough, or we pray for 2 days, and when the trial's still there, we kind of like, oh, I give up already. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'll just endure it. Or sometimes maybe we say, well, I deserve this one. I'm getting what I deserve. Just grin and bear it. You know, we cannot ignore our trials. But we pray in our trials. I always like, this is what I do. When I'm facing some issues, I say, God, please help me learn what I need to learn as fast as I can so I can get out of here. Isn't that right? I mean, I'd like to, like, quick, get me through this. Let me learn the lesson. Move on. And sometimes when we don't learn, we face that same old trial again next year or the year after. Next one, trials are a gift to be accepted. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, do you ever turn it away? No, thank you. I don't want it. No way. We got to accept our trials. Face it. Learn from it. I think that's why James said, count it all joy. Because of what we're going to get out of it. The end result. Man, if we endure the trials and if we learn all the lessons we need to learn from all of our trials, man, in the when we look in the mirror, our spiritual self, oh, we look like Pastor Aaron. With all that muscles, our spiritual self would be like, wow, when you look in the mirror, you say, you've been having many trials, yeah? Because you look like top shape. So when we get our trials, we cannot run, we cannot ignore them, but think of them, okay, God, it's a gift from you. Although it's not pleasant, it's a gift from you, and it's going to turn me into that spiritual Hulk. Yeah? That's what it does. Next. Number two, remember what God has already said. Remember what God has already said. Man, if you read the Bible daily, if you do your daily devotions, you have so much treasure. Like that psalm, before I was afflicted, I went astray. John 16:33, Jesus says this, these things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Jesus' instructions about these things called tribulations were intended to sustain these disciples, to give them peace in him. As believers, they needed to follow Christ, even though that they were in the world. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man. God is faithful. Amen? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with this temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Man, God is very faithful. Aren't you glad that we have a God who is faithful? And remember what he has said in his word, that he will not put you alone with that big bowl of candy. Some of you, I offer you candy this morning, you are so good. No, thank you. If he put that in with you, with that bowl of candy alone in a room, and he knew you couldn't handle it, he wouldn't put you in that situation. I'm trying to give it away, so I'm not put in that situation. Will you help me out, church? Please take some home. Paul pointed out to the one whom the Corinthians could rely on. The temptations. See, the Corinthian church was probably, the Corinthian area was probably someplace like Las Vegas. Been to Las Vegas? All the temptation, all the stuff. And they faced many temptations, and Paul is telling them, man, don't worry about this. God is not going to let you face it if you can't handle it. Amen? Number three, man, we got to keep praying. 2 Corinthians 12. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Paul, if you recognize, was afflicted with something. And he asked God to take care of it. He pleaded with God. He begged. The only reason that Paul stopped praying is because he got his answer. And his answer was no. God did not heal him. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because Paul was such a mighty man, God allowed this affliction on him so that maybe it wouldn't go to Paul's head saying, I did this. That guy wrote half the New Testament, but he had an affliction. He had a handicap. He had something that made him suffer. And because of that suffering, God was glorified. Amen? So sometimes in our trials, sometimes with our financial issues, our relational issues, our health issues, we pray once, we pray twice. Maybe we need to plead with God. Not just once, not just twice, but keep on praying. Unless God gives you the answer, you need to keep praying. Amen? Man, we got people in this church who are suffering. Relational, they're suffering through health issues. They are praying, they are pleading, but we as a family, we need to pray for them too. You might want to write this down. Push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Don't give up praying until something happens. Either to change your situation or to change you. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We need to make our requests known to God. If it's for healing, it's for salvation of your friends and neighbors, if it's for your finances, if it's for anything, push. Pray until something happens. Amen? I'm going to close with this short story, and I'm going to ask Jaywin to come up because we're going to get ready for communion. A little boy told his teacher one day that he had lost his marble, and he asked if he could have a prayer that God would enable him to find it. She was a Christian, so she agreed. The next day, she hesitantly asked the little boy if he had found his marble. He answered, "No, ma'am, but God took away my desire for it." Sometimes we pray and we don't get what we want. But sometimes God changes our hearts, our minds, our attitude. So we need to look at trials not that it is causing me grief or pain and suffering, but it's doing something inside me. It's making me stronger. It's giving me endurance, patience. And we got to look, not right now, but look down the road. What it's going to be doing to you. So that when we are suffering, not looking at the trial, but looking at the cross and enduring it and counting it all joy. Amen? Okay, we're going to take communion, so I'm going to invite the team up. Would you welcome Jaywin?
Yes, and give a hand to Pastor Scott, please. So here at New Hope East Hawaii, what we do is every first Sunday, we like to get together and we do communion. And one of the things that we like to do is, before you do this, we'd like you to understand what we're doing. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding or sometimes just it's basically just a lack of understanding what communion is. And some people believe that communion has salvation value, okay? Communion does not have salvation value. But what it does have, it has value in what it represents. Because one of the things that I've learned over the years of studying the Word of God is that God is very, very purposeful. And God does not do anything for no reason. So if it's in the Bible and it was instituted and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he wanted us to do this, and there was a purpose. And the purpose was to remember him. You know, a lot of the things that we fail at or we don't do is we forget the purpose of it. And when Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples, it says he did this on the night that he was being betrayed. So he knew, being omniscient at what he was. You know, he was omniscient. He knew everything. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be martyred. And he said, "Look, I need you guys to remember me." Now me, as a fleshly man, I want to be remembered because I don't want to be forgotten. But the reason Jesus wanted to be remembered, because he needed to be remembered, because the name of Jesus has power. Amen? So we needed to remember that he saved us. Because if not, we're so busy trying to save ourselves that we get entangled in this whole lifestyle. But what we should remember is the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross and his body that was broken. Amen? So Jesus, when he was with his disciples, you know, he instituted this in a certain way. But by the time they got to the early church, which is in Corinthians, these guys had this thing so messed up because they was doing this in one way that was unworthy. And he spoke of this. And he says, do not do this in an unworthy manner. For that reason, some of them fall asleep or are sick. And that's kind of spooky because sometimes we overlook this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a minute or so to examine yourself. If you have anything that you would like to confess to the Lord, unto yourself, I'll give you a little bit of time, or anything that you would like to give unto the Lord, worries, burdens, anything, I'd like you to do that in this short time. Amen?